Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, December 21st, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 154, the fourth paragraph, but what about his responsibilities? Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Bonnie B., 12 Traditions, Mary P., Reader of the Text, Dana P., Stephanie L. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Robin P. The reference numbers for Monday, December 20th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,271. That's 18271. And for this morning, Tuesday, December 21st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,276. That's 18276. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Gwen N., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Bonnie B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Don, for your service. I'm Bonnie B., from Minnesota, but currently in Florida, recovered by the grace of God. The 12 steps. Well, number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 154, the fourth paragraph, but what about his responsibilities? Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Dana P. to begin reading. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much. This is Dana P. I am in California. But what about his responsibilities, his family, and the men who would die because they would not know how to get well? Ah, yes, those other alcoholics. There must be many such in this town. He would phone a clergyman. His sanity returned, and he thanked God. Selecting a church at random from the directory, he stepped into a booth and lifted the receiver. Stepped into a booth. It makes me think of Superman. I mean, seriously, like Bill W.'s Superman, right? Which in a way, with God inside, we are Superman, Superwoman. We have these capabilities. And, you know, I had quite a bit prepared to say this morning, but, you know, that really hit me hard. And the other thing that hit me was the idea of, from another book of wisdom, the verse, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And that is truly what this is talking about right here. You know, we have responsibilities. We have been given a gift. We have been given this gift of recovery. I have been given this gift of recovery. I have been given this gift of fellowship. From where? From my higher power. And I imagine Bill standing there in that hallway with the two questions, you know, do I go to the quote-unquote gay bar where people are laughing and singing and joyous and having their, you know, drinks, and or he says maybe I'll have a ginger ale. Yeah, well, that's Jim's story, right? But he's standing there, and it's like this way, that way, this way, that way, this way. And all of a sudden, I envision the spotlight on that phone, and not just on that phone, but that receiver. And when we are open and when we are in fit spiritual condition, I know for myself, let me personalize, when I am in fit spiritual condition, I am reaching out to that receiver. There is a bright light shed upon that receiver
that saying, here I am, just reach out, and you will find the answer. And it brings me to the promise, that amazing promise. Intuitively, we will know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. And I just see him standing there, his head flipping from side to side to side to side, just in bafflement and utter bafflement, and suddenly getting that gift from his higher power that says, go to the phone and pick it up. And it took him some time to find a quote-unquote clergyman who didn't even give him an alcoholic, said, well, I don't know anybody, but I do know someone that can help. And how amazing is it that it was Henrietta Seiberling that led him to Dr. Bob? And we know kind of the rest of the story from there. But, you know, the thing about Henrietta, and for those of you that don't know the story, it's a beautiful story, definitely worth looking at. But the thing that people don't always know about Henrietta is that before she even got that phone call, before she even talked to Bill, she knew he was going to be calling because she had faith in her higher power. She had faith in God. There was no question in her mind that Bob would get help, because why? They prayed. They prayed. They asked for help. So I'm going to pass with that, and thank you so much, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Dana P., for getting us started. I'll now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Jody E.
Penny L.C.
Wendy M.
Donna B.
Okay, let's start with that. I have Jody E., Penny L.C., Wendy M., and Donna B. Go ahead, Jody.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. I'm an anorexic bulimic type. This is a great paragraph, and it makes me think about the times when I have forgotten my sponsees, and I have slipped, and I have not chosen to pick up the phone, and how when I realized what I had done and that I would have to tell my sponsees and my friends, and how disappointing that was for me and for them. And how I don't want to do that again. I don't want to disappoint myself, let myself down and the people around me down again. And, you know, all it takes is this return of sanity, this decision to pick up the phone instead of the food. Why is that so difficult for us? Why? I guess it's the ego, I'm guessing, and for myself. I don't want to admit that I am struggling, that I am, struggling with temptation. So I give in to the temptation I have, and it's just I don't want to let my ego win out again. I want to be humble. I am a compulsive overeater. This is the normal thing for me to do, is to pick up the food. It's abnormal for me to pick up the phone and to work these 12 steps. But I can do it with help, but I need help. I need all of you. I cannot do this alone. I can't even do it alone with my higher power. I need that magic third person, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. So I have to humble myself. I have to let go of my ego and pick up that phone, as did Bill, thank heavens. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. Now, Penny L.C., will you share with us, followed by Wendy M.? Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. I really appreciate being able to see inside of Bill's thought processes through these paragraphs. You know, he's at a fork in the road, and we get to be able to process through with him what he's thinking, in the sense that here he's feeling kind of down and discouraged. He knows he's got choices, so he sets off to find a choice in his environment. Well, then he's posed with the temptation, which we all face, especially in this time of the holiday season. But he chooses to pause, that beautiful tool that we all have available to us. He chooses to consider an alternative. What would his higher power have him be in that moment? And then he's given that awareness that, yes, there is the bar with all that would hold for him. But there's also another way, a way that he's learned to reach out and see who else he can help, to get outside of himself, to be of service to another person. And the gift of pausing, and then the gift, as it describes here, his sanity returned. And I have been blessed to feel that experience from my practice of pausing, to be able to get that sense of just taking a step back, looking at the bigger picture, considering what my higher power would have me be choosing next, and what a game changer. And so it's wonderful to see that outlined here and how well it can work, and to know that no matter what I'm faced with, no matter what's going on, there is a way through it. And what a gift of recovery that has been for me. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC from Washington State. Wendy M., please share with us now, followed by Donna B. Good morning, Wendy. Press star one, Wendy.
I am returned to sanity. I said, thank you, Don, so much for your service. It's Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. You know, it's just a miracle we're all here together. It's just a miracle. Beautiful. So what pops out at me is his sanity returned, and he thanked God. And what I get from this beautiful paragraph is that when we take the action, the sanity always returns. It's a promise. It is a promise. But here's the thing. I don't always know when I'm insane. The addiction, the mind, I'm swimming in it. What I want to say is I'm swimming in the addiction, and it's in my own voice, so it sounds right. And the addiction never says, idea to take action. And the addiction's just swimming. It's just, you know, again, it's in my voice, so it sounds right. And then I don't know how or why, but it is God's grace. It is God loves us so much, you know, and God somehow says, pick up the phone. God somehow says, work with a newcomer. Any action that I do, getting on the line this morning, is going to return me to sanity every time. And it's got two worlds. I'm either in the insanity, which is, you know, in the darkness, believing lies about myself and other people, right? Because the addiction is a liar, and it does want me dead. My addict wants, it is a liar. It tells me things that aren't true constantly, you know. But all we have to do is action. You know, we have a chapter called Into Action, Not Into Thinking. And it is literally two different worlds. And I'll tell you something, you guys. I woke up with fear this morning. I woke up with, boy, how can I control and manage? people, places, and things, like thinking that that's a good idea. And then getting on this line and hearing and seeing the word, his sanity returns. It is, again, such a promise. My sanity returned this morning listening to you guys and reading this. You know, it's action, action, action. That's all it takes. And God makes that so, you know, and then we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we're returned. It's so simple. It's so simple. Yesterday, I sent a 10-step out to many people. After I sent it out, I felt wonderful. I felt fabulous. I was telling on myself. I was doing a harm to somebody, and I had to tell somebody. And I knew I had to tell somebody because, you know, the more we work the program, the more we work the program. And I was returned because I told on myself. I took the action of sending that out. And I think that's my time. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. Donna B., will you share with us now? And then I'll be opening up the line to take more names. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. I'm from Denver and also calling from Florida this morning. And there are certainly times that I am aware of the thought that I would like to volume eat. And I know how deadly that thought is. I don't take it lightly. I don't believe for a moment that I can handle that thought myself. I always reach out to others and just share that I'm having that thought. In fact, last night, here I am in Florida, it's 2 hours ahead, and I texted a few of my fellows and I said, gosh, it's 9 o'clock in Florida and I'm done eating for the day, but it's only 7 o'clock in Denver and I'd like to eat dinner. And I got the support that I needed and the opportunity to connect with others. But when I put my name out to share this morning, what I was really thinking about is how angry I have been in regards to a situation at work. And writing out the 10 steps thoroughly and really asking myself, what's been affected? How is my self-esteem being threatened? How is my security being threatened? You know, why am I so scared? What is it that I'm scared of losing, of not getting what I want? And then looking at how being threatened impacts my behavior, selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and fearful. And then reaching out to somebody who can be of service to me and helping me to get through those feelings, through that resentment, and back to a relationship with my higher power. And I know that when people call me with a 10th step in order to process what they are going through, it is absolutely a service to me also, because I always find myself saying words to quote unquote the other person that I really need to hear for myself. So whether it's about the food, whether it's about a feeling, whether it's about an insecurity, whether it's about a resentment, whether it's about doubts, there's never anything to lose and always so much to gain in picking up the phone. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of those who would like to share on the paragraph found on page 154, the fourth paragraph, but what about his responsibilities? Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
This is Babylonia A. I'd like to share.
Babylonia A.
Carol A.D.
Carol A.D.
Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl A.D.
Yes.
Okay. Who else would like to share?
Kim B.
Kim B. Okay, let's start with that. We have Babylonia A. Oh, go ahead.
Tricia D. from Georgia.
Tricia D.
Uh-huh. Good morning.
Yes.
I'm on my seventh day of abstinence, and I'm feeling really good. I don't want to get cocky because and say.
Is this Babylonia?
Oh, yeah, this is Babylonia.
Okay, great. Go ahead, Babylonia. Thank you.
I don't want to get cocky and say I'll never binge eat again, but it feels like that's the direction I'm heading, that I'll never do it again because of A Vision for You, I was telling people that I was eating only two meals a day, breakfast and lunch, and they're like, you're restricting. You're in a diet mentality. You need to eat dinner. And that really helped me, so I decided to start eating dinner, and I feel so much happier, and I have so much more energy, like, because I like to exercise, and I have so much energy in the morning. I'm not fatigued and, like, pumping my legs with, like, muscle drained. So I'm really excited about that because I do, like to perform well when I exercise. I'm also, because of this program, not compulsively exercising like I was before. Although I still want to, but I can't due to an injury, and I'm seeing that as a blessing in disguise from God, that He's revealing to me that I was overdoing it. So these two things are making me very happy, and I'm also learning to detach with love from people and not try to change or control people. And I have a sponsor, and I'm going to start working the steps tonight, and I'm just very grateful that I have this program because I have a friend who binge eats, and I've told her about OA, and she's not ready to join, and she's still binging, and I just don't want to be in the food. I didn't realize how long it's been an issue for me, like since my childhood I've relied on food for comfort. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Babylonia A. Now, Cheryl A.D., will you share with us, followed by Kim B., and feel free to let us know where you're calling from, if you'd like.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Cheryl A.D. I'm from Ventura, California. It's so grateful to be on this meeting this morning. Thank you, moderator, and I want to thank Dana P. for this amazing lead this morning on this passage in the Big Book. What I saw was it coming alive in these images, Bill as Superman, light shining on the receiver. I heard those who have been given much have much responsibility. And what I really heard in this was, you know, as was mentioned by Dana, Henry Cyberlink had been praying for Dr. Bob, and she was expecting the call because she had faith. And what I also see here is that it makes me think that faith without works is dead. So Bill didn't just have faith, and he acted upon it. He prayed, he connected, he went to the phone booth and picked up the receiver, and he made multiple calls. Henrietta didn't just act on her faith. He prayed in community, and she picked up the phone when it rang. So I'm learning in here to pick up my phone. I was so selfish in my disease, I never picked up the phone. I didn't have time for you. Now I try to pick up the phone to the best of my ability, and it's blessed me so much. I got a little bit slippery, not with my food, but with my preparation. So my sponsor reminded me, the food is the foundation here. You know, well, God is the foundation, our higher power. Of your choosing, of my choosing and conception. But the food for me, for my life and recovery, needs to be prepared ahead, and that's action. Action is getting that food prepared and having it ready for me. I'm so grateful to be on this journey and to remember and learn that faith and action go together for me today. And that's what builds my recovery. I want to thank everybody for being here, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A.D. from California. Now, Kim B., will you share with us, followed by Tricia D.? If you're just joining us, we are on page 154, the fourth paragraph that starts with, but what about his responsibilities? And we're commenting on that one paragraph. Go ahead, Kim. Please share with us.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you so much for your service, Don B. And this is Kim B., gratefully recovered in the state of Wisconsin this morning. And it really struck me this paragraph today. You know, it just says, but what about his responsibilities, his family? And I got some really bad news last night that my sister, who was hosting Christmas for my family this weekend, got exposed to COVID with her in-laws over this last weekend, and they had made a tough decision to decide to quarantine, and so they canceled our Christmas plans. And, you know, it was very devastating, not only just, you know, we were all really looking forward to traveling and meeting and seeing my family, my parents and her and my kids, but also just the fact that my mom is also dying of pancreatic cancer. So we don't know how many more Christmases we have. And we were just all really looking forward to it. And so it's quite a blow. And my initial reaction last night when I got this news was I just wanted to either kill myself and die or crawl in a hole. And because I knew that wasn't rational. And then I thought, well, I'll just want to crawl in a hole and just isolate myself, which was my old way of thinking, right? And what I've learned in this program of being recovered for over 12 years now is that isolation is not healthy for me and that those are irrational thoughts. And of course, I'm not going to eat over it. Thank goodness that did not even come across my brainage, but the feelings were strong. And but what I did instead, I sat and wallowed for a few minutes and paused and then I picked up the phone, and it says, what about his responsibilities, his family? So I started calling family members that this has affected, this information has affected. And, oh, my goodness, what a God-sent thing. And I love that Superman and that God superpower inside of us. So I love that image. And that's what happened to me last night, was that I just had this complete turnaround after I picked up the phone, made those phone calls. The first two phone calls I made, my husband and son, they didn't answer their phones. I left them messages, and then I called my daughter, who answered the phone, and we had a great conversation, and we made alternative plans for this weekend, and because we all live close to each other. So I was just really excited that, you know, despite the devastating news that we weren't going to gather as a family as originally planned, for the last month, you know, we were able to quickly turn it around within a few minutes, actually, last night. And to me, that's God. Right. That's just God. And so I'm just grateful. Thank you for letting me share my God moment last night, and have a wonderful day. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Kim B. from Wisconsin. Now, Tricia D., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. Good morning, Tricia.
Good morning. This is Tricia D. Can you hear me?
Yes, we sure can.
Okay, thank you. This is Tricia D. from Georgia, and I just love this paragraph, and I've been wanting to get online and share all this week because this is a very special week for me. I have been with Vision for 1 year, and it has literally changed my life. I've been in OA for about 11 years, but it wasn't until I picked up that phone. I love that last sentence on this paragraph. He stepped into a booth and lifted the receiver. I call it the 300-pound cell phone because I was literally at death's door. And about 4 years ago, I had a liver transplant, and it was due to fatty liver disease. I had an autoimmune disease that attacked my liver, strictly due because of my consumption of sugar and high carbs. And I had no idea that it was killing my liver until after I got off. Well, excuse me, I did know it was, I was a food addict. I am a compulsive overeater and a food addict. But it wasn't until a year, this time last year, I got back into the sugar even after a liver transplant. Someone died and gave me their liver, and I had a new life. And yet, how was I thanking God? I was going back into the sugar. I was desperate and crawled back in to OA, and I heard about the Big Book. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I kept hearing Big Book, Big Book. And I heard about Vision for You. I got on that phone call and made that first meeting, and I knew I was home. I'd heard my story. They spoke my language. And I can, through the grace of God, say thank you, Lord, because I've been absent now for a good while, about 8 or 9 months now. And I'm neutrality with the food. I have such a peace, and that spiritual awakening is nothing I ever could have imagined. My closeness to my God, He truly is my power, and He is the one who sustains me and keeps me neutral. Because of my own strength, I am nothing. God is everything, or God is nothing. And that is my motto, that accountability is so important to God and to others. That I do the action. I have to do the work. I have to follow the 12 steps. And so thank you for Vision for You. I just thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for saving my life. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tricia D. from Georgia. And I'm now going to be taking more names of people who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? It's a great time to share this morning. We've had beautiful, beautiful shares this day already in the meeting today.
Ann M., Washington State.
Ann M.
Noel E., Louisiana.
Noel E.
Ann A.
Ann A.
George E.
And George E., and we'll stop there. Okay, Ann M., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
This is Ann M. from Washington.
I think you might have inadvertently gotten muted there, Ann M. If you could press star one again, please.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Yes, Ann M. from Washington State. This paragraph... so reminded me of something my sponsor said years ago. Anne, instead of wallowing in yourself and self-pity and all the minor details that turn into major details in my life because of my obsession with and defects, pick up the phone and call someone else, some other member of OA or anyone, and ask how they're doing. And I've often remembered that because I can get caught up so easily. And this is what, happened. What about his responsibility to his family? What about those other alcoholics? There must be many many such in this town. He would phone a clergyman. He did that, and that was sort of revolutionary of step 12. And I see that. I'm so grateful for this meeting and appreciate the shares as well as what helps me in my recovery, but how I can help others. And this month, the 12th month, of course, many of the readings and other in the literature are about service. So this is very prescient for me. I appreciate it. And thank you for everyone. Thank you for having this meeting and organizing it. I'm very impressed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ann M. from Washington. Now, Noel E., please share with us, followed by Ann A. Good morning, Noel.
Hi, this is Noel E.
Oh, thank you, everybody, for your service on the line. What's really standing out to me is that beginning line, but what about his responsibilities? Because sometimes the addict in me wants to, like, you know, become obsessed with program, become addicted to program. And, you know, thinks that no other responsibility has placed over that, you know, and like service to my fellows are the only people that, that God's directed me to serve. And, you know, like, it's so hard. Someone mentioned earlier on the line that the disease talks to us in our own voice. And it's such a familiar voice. It's such a familiar voice that would say, you know, everything else aside, this is the only thing you have to do. You know, none of the people that are, you know, anyone who's not in program doesn't love you and doesn't understand you the way that we all do. And so I'm so grateful that it says right after it, his family and the men who would die because they would not know how to get well. Like, I'm so grateful that they point both of those things out, because I don't know. It would make me want to be obsessed with my fellows as the only one and only people in front of me where I feel like I belong. And while I still, you know, often don't feel like I belong in my family, that I'm the problem, it's important to be of service there. And it's a great reminder that, you know, as I'm following where God is guiding me, it's super hard. I mean, it's Christmas. My birthday was Sunday, and Christmas is coming up. It's a lot of pressure for all my life to be a great performer, to make sure and show everybody I'm having a good time. And I don't have to do that anymore, because I'm the only opinion of me that matters is my higher powers. And I can be of service. I can, you know, let my children be with their grandparents and just know that God is holding me through all of it. So I just am really grateful for that message. I needed it at this exact moment. God is so good. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. All best.
Thank you, Noelle E. Ann A., please share with us, followed by George E. Good morning, Ann. Press star one, Ann.
Can you hear me now? Sorry.
Yep, we sure can.
Thanks. And grateful compulsive eater here. I'll just say, sounds like the meeting's about service. I got on a little late, so I missed the reading. But for me, in the last several months, I've had some big challenges with health. The biggest challenge I've had in my entire life. And it at first really knocked me for a loop into a lot of panic and fear. And I think I sat there for a little while in that emergency mode of, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, how is this going to turn out? What's going to happen? Et cetera, et cetera. And in the last, I guess, month or so, I finally kind of felt like I've gotten my head above water a little bit with it, not in as much fear. Probably the last couple of months, really. And so I've kind of been dealing with the emotions now, since the panic and fear kind of subsided, other emotions that have come up regarding it. And the limits that I have experienced as a result of it. And it's been quite debilitating at times. And I've had a hard time feeling connected to my higher power. And it's coming around, and I'm feeling, you know, a little more stable, and I'm kind of gaining a new recognition and experience of humility. And that's not been easy to come by. Not been easy to come by. I know I hear and I've said myself how I'm grateful to be a compulsive eater because of where it's brought me to in terms of my spiritual life. And I've said that with this a couple times. And anyway, so lately, though, in terms of service, I feel like, God, I want to be of service to people. Like, and some people know that I call what I'm dealing with. And it's like, I really don't want to talk about it every time. I'd rather hear, like, what's going on for somebody else. And it's just because it helps me, and I want to be of service to the other person, too, and not be so focused on the physical, what's going on for me. But anyway, I don't know. I'm probably just babbling, but I just wanted to say I'm grateful to hear people's experience, strength, and hope on here. I'm grateful that we have a community of voices that I often hear my story echo back to me, which helps me to understand myself. And thanks. I pass.
Thank you so much, Anne A. And George E., we have time for about a minute and a half share.
Yeah, I'm George E. I'm a compulsive eater in Ohio. I really appreciate the discussion today. When I hit star one, you're muted, so I'm not exactly sure what you said, but I know I'm a little short on time here. I read a pamphlet where she wrote in first person about her experience with Dr. Bob and Bill. And what I get out of all this is, she is God's facilitator, but it was up to Bill whether to turn left or turn right. In other words, all the prayer in the world won't obviate free will. But I always felt like people like Kenrietta, just they have it, and I don't. And I don't know where this feeling of missing the God gene comes from, but that's where my head's at. And it does help me to get out of my head to make those phone calls. However, talking to somebody I've never talked to before, I find pretty intimidating. And so I have other tools. The program gives me lots of tools. And thank you for my absence today. And I think we're out of time. That's it.
Thank you so much, George E. from Ohio. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Stephanie L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.